everyone, and welcome to Minute 34 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a wild trip through the 1987 John Hughes comedy, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is John of the Dirty Harry Minute. Welcome back to the show, John.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Let's see what happens with this little truck, this pickup truck that has shown up. Who knows who's inside?
Have to wait and see. Well, Neil looks very, he's got that great Steve Martin bewilderment face that we see in so many movies.
Completely.
Perfect.
That's right. So minute 34 begins with Neil and Dell looking at the pickup truck in amazement or bewilderment, as you just mentioned. That's good too. and ends with Owen once again snorting like a pig. So, I mean, this is a minute. Yesterday we had a minute that had a lot of dialogue. Today's minute has almost no dialogue. This minute is definitely a physical minute. You can see so many things that happens between these characters just by their reactions and by the way that they look at things and stuff like that. So the pickup truck showed up with supposedly Gus's son is supposed to be picking them up. And the two of them are just sitting there looking, waiting to try and find out who is in this mysterious pickup truck that shows up. Now, as they're sitting there waiting and looking, so there's another couple that leaves the motel lobby right behind them. And this time, this is the third couple that we've seen. And this time we actually see people who have luggage. Because, you know, this looks like a seedy, it looks like a seedy motel. So here we have someone who actually is staying there with luggage as opposed to just being there by the hour. Or whatever it is.
I think it actually undercuts the scariness by seeing people come out from behind them. Like, they're obviously not scared, sort of, or it just takes away a bit of the ominousness of these, particularly, you know, we're just about to have these legs appear in the first musical cue in a while. I don't think it helps to have people coming in and out behind them, do you?
I think it helps by showing that they're not in a completely deserted place. You know, they're not the only guests in this motel.
Right.
There is hustle and bustle.
That, though.
Who prefers
to have the opposite?
No, I think it's better to show, because, you know, yesterday Gus, or not yesterday, a few weeks ago when they first got to the motel, so Gus told them that the whole place is jam-packed, that there are no rooms available. So,
yeah, true. That's the logic of what we've heard beforehand. But
right.
If there's any sense of they're out on their own and here's this hick coming to potentially hurt them, when you want it to be a bit more isolated at this moment. But I take your point.
Okay, but they're not people who are standing next to them. They're people who are continuing on their journey. You know, they're moving along.
Yeah.
If they were just to stand there, I would agree with what you're saying. But they're not, you know, they're not disturbing anything that's going on. They're just letting things move along. I don't know.
Fair point.
And then, as you mentioned, we have this great music cue, which is probably why this is best that you got this particular week, because this does seem like a Dirty Harry or Clint Eastwood type of shot, you know?
Yeah. When the shot pans up, whoever this mysterious man is, it's like, who, until it arrives at his face, you don't know. It's sort of, is it Marty McFly? Is it the Terminator? Because he's got the, you know, the red like life vest that Marty McFly has.
Right.
And,
I love the way they pan up. There's no question. It's done really well. You see the snow in the background. You see these boots. They look like these rain boots. They don't even look like snow boots, but they're tightly closed. You know, in contrast to what you mentioned earlier this week, I think it was yesterday, that Dell is sitting there with boots that are wide open. But here you got these boots and it moves up, and then you see him that he's got his jeans. And then did you notice that he has five layers of clothing on him?
Yeah. Yeah. Although to be fair, they're probably very threadbare, each and every one of them. But yeah, quite a lot of layers.
Possibly. He's got gloves. Maybe Neil should borrow his gloves. You know, and they're
not
great
being
color,
from a cold, yeah.
But they're yellow and gray and blue. That's a very strange color for someone like this to be having. It seems like something that a kid would have, those type of colored gloves, as opposed to what he has here. I don't know. So he's got five layers. You see, he's got like a shirt or an undershirt underneath, and then he has like a denim shirt on top of that, followed by a sweater, with a zipper, a zippered sweater, and then he has his hunting outfit. He has his plaid, red and black plaid jacket, and then on top of that, he's got his Marty McFly life preserver.
Yeah, that's right. Not being from a cold region of Australia, well, there aren't many anyway. Maybe that is sensible. You're always told you layers are good, yeah? I don't know.
It could be. It could be. I don't know. It's just I just find it funny that he has five layers there. And
Now,
the irony of it is that we know that it's not really cold on this real day.
yeah. Now, this is the actor that I always confuse with the guy from Two and a Half Men that isn't Charlie Sheen, you know, that other guy
John
that's.
Cryer.
Yeah, I always confuse this actor for him.
Really? That's
That's
interesting.
just my fault,
Now,
yeah.
okay, I mean, this is Dylan Baker. Dylan Baker
Okay.
is an actor who was born on the 7th of October 1959. He has 67 TV credits and 66 movie credits. This was actually his very first credited role. Okay, I can
Wow.
see why you think there's a resemblance to John Cryer in this, but if you've seen him in later works of his, he doesn't look like this anymore. He doesn't have
Okay.
this gaunt looking face. But I can definitely see what you're talking about, the fact that how in this particular movie he does resemble John Cryer.
Yeah, but then
That's
again,
true.
yeah, I always make that confusion. I think is he in Happiness as well, Dylan? Have you
I
seen that
believe
movie, that
so.
Todd Solondz film?
I
Yeah,
believe
yeah.
so. I believe he is.
Always get them mixed up.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen him in a lot of things. He was in 13 Days. I loved him in that. He played Robert
Oh,
McNamara.
the Bay Pig thing. Yeah, with Costner as well? No, not Costner.
No, Costner's a known. Yeah, that's a Kevin Costner movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's also in two of the Spider-Man movies because he played Kurt Connors, who's Peter Parker's professor, who eventually in the comics and in the other version of in the Amazing Spider-Man eventually becomes the Lizard. I think that was what he was called.
Okay.
But not in the Sam Raimi versions, which he was in. So we also say, I love his hat. It's completely nondescript baseball hat. It's like this gray, really dirty. It says a lot about him. I mean, the fact that he's unshaven and stuff like that. As you mentioned earlier, he's meant to be a little bit shocking and scary to look at for the two of them.
Yeah, a little bit Deliverance or something.
Yeah, and the two of them just look at him, and they're completely in shock as to what that person is. And again, Neil looks like he's completely frozen, but they both also look very uncomfortable. Even Dell. Dell is a guy who almost always feels comfortable in any situation. He knows how to feel comfortable in situations, but not in this one. He's looking,
Yeah.
and
Yeah, do
then.
you think? No, I was just going to say, you're right. Even he is a bit put out. He doesn't know what to expect. Do you think this guy looks more scary than that taxi driver they had? In
Yeah, for
fact,
sure.
getting them? Yeah.
For
Okay, yeah.
sure. No question about that. That the wolf.
The wolf.
So at this point, then Owen, who we know it's Owen, spits on a wad of tobacco juice. And you see how disgusted Neil feels by this whole thing. And Del just like looks down. And then he starts moving towards them. And we get the music that sounds like it's a
Yeah.
gunfight is about to happen with this type of thing.
Yeah.
And then Dell stutters and says, are you Gus's son? And he goes, I'm Owen. And then he snorts like a pig. He squeals like a pig, and it's just really funny. And he like plays with his hat at the same time and like moves it. But and then he says, are you the
Yeah.
shower curtain fella? Now, who else would be sitting here waiting for him and say, are you Gus's son?
That's right.
I mean, again, Gus is the manager of this motel, so he's familiar, Owen is familiar with it, but still.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just very funny the way that he says that. And he goes, yeah, Del Griffith. And he goes, "How are you?" And then he shakes his hand. And then he introduces Neil. He goes, "This is Neil Page from Chicago." And then Owen spits again tobacco and starts drooling and wipes his mouth with his hand, and then reaches his hand out to shake Neil's, and like shakes Neil's hand with all this spit on it and stuff like that, which is just really gross. And I mean, Neil is completely disgusted by this and doesn't know what to do. You know, he like shakes his hand, and just, you get this look on Steve Martin's face of utter and complete disgust. And he just says hi, and that's all he says to him. And then Owen's response is, "Pleased to meet you both." And then once again, begins to completely snort and squeal. And like, Neil is looking at him and like starts swaying back and forth, like he looks like he's about to faint by the whole thing.
When Owen is sort of leaning, bracing against the windshield, he generally looks like he's in pain or he's bracing. None of this is an affectation. Do you reckon he's having? Yeah, you see that scene?
Yeah, that shot. He does look like that. He looks like something's bothering.
He's generally in pain or something. Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, he's snorting. I don't know why he's doing that squeal. You know, that's just a very strange sound, and you know, I don't know. Something just doesn't seem right there.
You might have emphysema or something. You know, I don't know.
I don't know, but you think people who have emphysema are going to squeal like a pig? No, you know, I think they're trying to show that there's something wrong with Owen. You know, maybe he's a pig farmer and just spends too much time with his pigs. You know, last week we discussed about how many pig farmers there are in Kansas, and the fact that we get to see a pig farm right across the main highway from this motel. So. You never know.
When I was looking, I was just looking at, what's the actor's name again? Dylan?
Dylan Baker.
Yeah, I was looking at him, and then I was looking at just Steve Martin. I noticed how Hollywood teeth have evolved over the years. Like if Steve Martin was in a comedy now, like his teeth are fine, perfectly, you know, normal as a citizen has, but you know what I mean? Like the standard of dentures, and it's gone really over the top. But yeah, Steve Martin's like a normal guy with his teeth.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Just noticed that then.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I didn't even think about that. So do you have anything else for this minute before we move on to the script?
No, not really. Yeah, nothing.
Okay. All right. Well, so the script, there's one minor little discrepancy where in the script, Owen actually wipes his nose instead of, you know, dealing with the whole thing with the spit. And
it's too G-rated. Like it how it is.
and then since Neil doesn't want to shake his hand, he actually hugs him.
All right.
Which makes sense. And then Owen turns to Dell and says, "He's a friendly fella, huh?" So that's the only discrepancy between that. But it's still good. I still like the way they did it. I mean, it's funnier the fact that he wipes his hand, you know, that he spits in his hand, or he wipes the spit by the use of his hand. So
yeah, and Martin was surprised by that. Is that what that said in the background?
Yeah,
Martin wasn't expecting that. Yeah
it was complete. And I mean, when you look at them, I think Neil is not the type of guy who would hug someone, so I'm glad that they actually changed that would be completely out of character.
Definitely. Yeah,
you know, even if the guy just was, you know, wiped his nose or wiped the spit from the side of his mouth or something like that. I don't know. Don't know. And so that's pretty much the only differences between the script and the final cut of this movie in this minute. Anything else?
No, not really. I was just thinking a lot of apparently John Hughes's, you know, real life stories ended up in movies. And this one in particular, is
yes.
it right? He took him, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made me think maybe he has to cut. He's dead now, but maybe he never came clean about some business he had when he was a kid about some robbers that broke into his house. Maybe Home Alone. Hopefully, wasn't a real life story of his as well.
Oh, that's true. I never thought about that. Maybe he has something against the pizza guy.
That's right.
Because there's pizza. It? There's pizza in Home Alone too. Also, Not two. Mm-hmm. Not Home Alone 2, Home Alone also.
Nice.
Exactly.
That's it.
So every day we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track where myself or my guest will tell a little adventure or misadventure that might have happened to us somewhere along our journeys in life. So, John, you got another one for us?
Not mine, but one that my mum tells me all the time. When she was in Scotland in, I think, the early 70s, as most Australians do, they do their OE, or overseas experience, back in the old country. She went to Edinburgh Castle. And as she was queuing up to, you know, get into one of the rooms or something, she said her camera, she tripped or it fell out of her hands and sort of the camera slid down a little grassy hill or something inside the castle walls and next to some bushes. And when she was there, it landed behind the bushes. She noticed that a part of the bluestone brick was sort of loose. And she's like, wow. And she looks around. No one's watching. No one's watching. She goes out. She pulls as hard as she can. And she's thinking, you know, this is 800 years old. This, no one's seen behind this brick since Robert the Bruce or since Braveheart times or whatever. And she pulls it open and there's a bloody cigarette butt already there. A cigarette. Yeah. So, yeah, she always tells that story with amusement.
She forgot to tell you that she's the one who actually put the cigarette butt there. She just, you know, she's had to change the story around just a little bit in order for you to have nicer thoughts about your mother.
So, could be. She smoked like a chimney most of her life, most of her old life, yeah.
So thank you to John's mom for that lovely story in Scotland.
Thanks, Carol.
Yeah. All right, so why don't you tell people once again how they can get in touch with you?
Please download Dirty Harry Minute if you like the 1971 classic starring Clint Eastwood. Dirty Harry Minute on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your regular places. Thanks a lot.
And for us, it's very simple. All you do is a search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and our website. And obviously, while you're doing that, please go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher you might be using to listen to this show. So, John, you feeling lucky? You want to come back tomorrow to finish off this week?
I'm feeling very lucky. Please.
Feeling lucky, punk.
Well, do ya?
There you go. Well, until tomorrow, you're
You're fu-